Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Blessed John Duns Scotus, though obscure, has nevertheless been one of the most influential Franciscans through the centuries. He was born in 1266 at Duns, D-U-N-S, in Scotland, and at the age of 15, joined the Order of Friars Minor, so the Franciscans. He completed his novitiate and then immediately began a very academic and intellectual career because his superiors noticed that he was endowed with extraordinary intellectual qualities. So he studied in Paris until 1297, then returned to lecture at Oxford and Cambridge. 4 years later, he returned to Paris to teach and complete the requirements for the doctorate. Paris at that time was the most renowned of the universities, and receiving a doctorate in Paris would allow Blessed John Duns Scotus then to further and to continue his explorations in theology and his teaching career in theology. And as much as he loved studying about God, nevertheless he loved God even more. And he loved this church even more. So when he was faced with a choice, when in 1303 the King of France, for political reasons, wanted the University of Paris to side with him against the Pope, Boniface VIII, in a dispute, again, Blessed John Duns Scotus put into practice his love of God, even above and beyond getting a doctorate for God, and he faced exile because he opposed the king and remained faithful to the church. Putting this doctorate in danger, he realized in the end doctorates are not all that important as loving God, and faced exile. Nevertheless, after a short stay in Oxford, he was able to return to Paris, where he did complete the doctorate in 1305 when that dispute was over. He continued teaching there, and in 1307 so ably defended the Immaculate Conception that the university officially adopted his position. That's one of the achievements of Blessed John Duns Scotus. He, as the first of the theologians, articulated in a convincing way the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. After that, he was assigned by the Minister General of the Franciscans to teach in Cologne, Germany, where he died in 1308 at the age of 42. It seems that perhaps he contracted tuberculosis. It seems almost like a silly guess, but he seems to have been of a frail constitution. He's always pictured wearing that hat that is associated with him, which perhaps is indicative of the fact that he was always suffering from the cold, his health was always frail and fragile, and probably that is what led to his early demise in 1308. He was beatified only in 1993 by John Paul II, and he bears the title Subtle Doctor. Now, as far as a spiritual takeaway, well, in the opening prayer, we call Blessed John Duns Scotus a master of both life and thought. Life and thought, the two go together in the sense that our ideas shape our life. Ideas shape reality. Ideas are not without consequence. Even when it seems they're detached from reality, they nevertheless shape our reality and through us shape the reality around us. Ideas have consequences. Even though we see mainly the consequences of ideas, nevertheless, there are ideas behind the consequences that we see. So having clarity of thought or confusion of thought is more important than we might realize, especially in matters of faith, of course. That's why there's a saying, a confused mind is the devil's playground. And again, even when it seems sometimes ideas are detached from reality and very abstract, they nevertheless shape it. In Blessed John Duns Scotus, for example, many of the ideas that he is associated with and many of the ideas that he championed and later on Franciscans pursued and intellectually battled for seem very abstract. And even just the ideas themselves, like what does it mean that there is a formal distinction but a real identity between intellect and will, which are in reality, although formally distinct, part of the essence of the soul? Like, what does that even mean? and yet it shaped the reality of Blessed John Duns Scotus's teaching and then the Franciscan school of thought. The free nature of the operation of the will and the necessary nature of the operation of the intellect, and how that influences God and his creative act. The univocity of being in relation to both God and creatures, that in the same way we can speak of being in relation to both God and creatures. What does that even mean? How do universals become individuals? And what is a universal concept? Is it something real or is it something merely nominal? The quiditas, the aceitas of Blessed John Duns Scotus. And can a creature even cooperate in the creative act? Like, that seems like a ridiculous question, yet it leads to the question of, well, how do the sacraments cause grace? Are they physical or moral causes? And how does Our Lady mediate grace, physically or morally? And what is the primary motive of the incarnation? What is the reason that God became man, et cetera, et cetera? Questions that seem, some of them, more or less abstract, but nevertheless have shaped the Franciscan school of thought and have shaped the Franciscan saints that followed, who shaped the Franciscan order, who then shaped the church, informed and influenced the church. St. Bernardine of Siena, St. Lawrence of Brindisi, St. Joseph of Cupertino, Padre Pio, St. Maximilian Kolbe, all of these are formed in the Franciscan school of thought, the school of thought of Blessed John Duns Scotus. And all of these are promoters of devotions that don't immediately seem connected with the thought of Blessed John Duns Scotus, but nevertheless follow from it, such as the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, the absolute primacy of Christ and the kingship, both spiritual and social, of Christ. And the Stations of the Cross, devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, the Most Holy Name of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Christmas crushed nativity scene, all of these flow from the Franciscan school of thought, because thought influences how we act, how we live. So, conclusion. So we too should, for ourselves, be very careful about the ideas that we do hold, because the ideas will shape our actions. And even though not all of us are called, like Blessed John Duns Scotus, to do theology for a living or professionally, and that we can't imitate him, not all of us, we can do what he did. So how do we obtain this clarity of thought? Blessed John Duns Scotus wasn't just born with an amazing intellect. He had to beseech Our Lady to receive it. He was rather dull as a child, as a young man, but nevertheless prayed to Our Lady that she enlighten his mind, because he didn't want to be confused. He wanted to know God as much as he possibly could know God on this earth. That he did. He besought Our Lady and received this amazing infusion of knowledge, capability to acquire knowledge. That we can do. We can pray to Our Lady to enlighten us as to be not confused, but to have the necessary clarity of ideas to know God and to love God, to have the correct ideas about God, so as to correctly order our life and direct it to God and to direct those around us and that portion of reality over which we are responsible by God to God as well. Praised be Jesus and Mary,
now and forever.